Welcome to episode 499 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. My name is Divine. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing our series on the successful dedicated period. This is going to be part two. So just as a recap, we talked about six principles that can really help your dedicated period be extremely successful. If you missed out the first podcast, go and listen to it. You're going to get a lot from it. So we talked about the subject D's principle. That was principle number one. Number two, we talked about the balance principle. Number three, we talked about the question analysis principle. Number four, we talked about the short form principle. Number five, we talked about the planning principle. Number six, we talked about the staying power principle. So without further ado, we're going to jump straight to number seven. What's principle number seven? Principle number seven is the attention principle. The attention principle. Now, in this age that we live in, what is one of the best things you can do for yourself during your dedicated period? Get off the internet. Literally, get off the internet. Get off the internet. The thing is, people don't realize this, but a lot of the internet these days trains a person's brain to not focus and to not be attentive. Because most things these days are designed to not be long form, require concentration kind of deals. No. So basically the way it works is, say for example, you're on social media. You watch a 10 second video that catches your interest. You watch it and boom, you scroll, move to the next thing. Boom, you scroll, you move to the next thing. Your brain is literally being trained in, boom, scroll, move to the next thing. Scroll, boom, move to the next thing. That's not helping your attention. That's not helping your focus. So just get off the internet. Honestly, get off the internet. And get off the internet also means get off these interweb groups where people talk about their study plans and their scores and what they did. Don't consult those during your dedicated period. That is a monumental waste of time. When you do things like that, you're setting yourself up for failure. One, you're burning valuable time you could be spending studying. And then two, getting involved in those things will make it more likely that you will start changing your plans, that you'll start adjusting your plans. Don't be that kind of person. Don't do that kind of thing to yourself. So honestly, I'm like strongly encouraging you, be wise. Be wise. Get off the internet. Get off the internet. Stop looking at Reddit during your dedicated period. Stop looking at SDN during your dedicated period. It's just going to induce fear and anxiety. Because most of the people that post online don't necessarily post things that are helpful. Right? Check, for example, like the Reddit sub for many of the USMLEs. It's just a bunch of fear mongering. Oh, I'm 3 days from my exam. I took this practice test. I got a 210. What do I do? I did this. What do I do? I did that. What do I do? Stop wasting your time on those. I'm telling you, like, that's one of the dumbest things you can do during your dedicated period. Many people do it, but it's not profitable. It is literally not profitable. The one thing, activity I will say that really helps with attention that many people don't do is exercise. Exercise. And notice I'm not saying, wow, go and do some intense exercise. I mean, you can if that's what floats your boat. But honestly, walking is a good kind of exercise. You just walk. You can do 10,000 steps. And in doing 10,000 steps, you can be listening to some podcast. You can be learning in some way, shape, or form. Make that time very useful, right? So exercise. But I'm telling you, get off the internet. Your interaction with the internet should be as limited as possible during your dedicated period. Don't get me wrong. It's a discipline you have to practice, but that discipline is well worth it. Now, what is principle number eight? So again, we've done the subject-based principle. That was number one. We've done the balance principle, question analysis principle, short form principle, planning principle, staying power principle, attention principle. Now, principle number eight is the simulation principle. So what does this mean? This means that you should run as many simulations that are similar to your test as is possible. Run as many simulations as is humanly possible. Many people take their exams without having run simulations. Think of it, for example. Do you think pharmaceutical companies produce drugs without running simulations? No, they run simulations. That's what a randomized control trial is. Or if a company that makes rockets like SpaceX is trying to launch a rocket into space, do you think they design the rocket and just run it into space like that? No, they're going to kill a lot of people by doing that. What do? They run lots of simulations, lots and lots and lots of simulations before they launch the real rocket. So I encourage people, run as many simulations as possible. And here's the thing, the more simulations you run, the better prepared you'll be for your exam. And the more useful your dedicated period will be. Right? So say, for example, you know that, well, my exam is 8 hours. So let's take step two. My exam is 8 hours and there's an hour of break time. If you run the simulation where your entire dedicated period, most days, you're studying for 8 hours, like focused 8 hours, and then you're taking an hour of break time, you know, see, so say you're like, ooh, okay, I'll study for an hour and take a 10-minute break after this. Okay, let me study for another hour, take a 10-minute break, stuff like that. You arrange all your break times, kind of like the way you're going to be taking your exam. You're running a simulation. By the time you get to your real exam, being in tune mentally for 9 hours, right? That's your 8 hours of taking your exam plus the 1 hour of interdigitated break time. It becomes like a natural to you. It just makes a lot of sense to you, right? Literally makes a lot of sense to you. Is not, your exam is not going to be as stressful because you've run so many simulations. Your brain has been trained, right? It's all about training your brain to do what you want it to do, right? About training your brain to do what you want it to do, right? So run simulations. I kid you not, I've run many simulations in my life where I'm preparing for an exam. Like, I remember, like, someone taught me this thing when I was in college, and man, has it helped me a lot. Where I literally go to, back in the day, that was when AMC 11 was the MCAT practice test, right? And I remember my exam was on a Saturday. The Saturday before, I packed lunch. I believe I had breakfast, and I knew that, oh, my test was to start, I think, at 8 a.m. So that Saturday, the Saturday morning before my exam, I, at 7 a.m. or whatever, I left my home. I drove to the testing center, the Prometric, right? So I simulated, like, getting out in traffic. Like, what does the traffic of a Saturday feel like? Okay, what does this Prometric feel like? What's the parking situation at the Prometric? I even walked into the Prometric place. Where are the seats? Where do they have their chairs and everything? Right? How do I check in? I figured all those things out. Then I came home, and by 8 a.m. I started AMC 11. And if I'm not mistaken, my score on AMC 11 was exactly my score on my real MCAT. And the thing is, when I took my real MCAT, I was like, oh, wait, Devon, you just ran a simulation last week, Saturday. This is just like another simulation. This is just supposed to be the real deal simulation. And everything worked out extremely well, right? So run sims, run simulations, especially when there are things that scare you. Run a simulation of those things, and that fear is going to evaporate. Like, if you know that, man, you're scared of doing 3 blocks in a row, run that simulation a few times, right? Like, I tell people, at least at the bare minimum, you want to run a testy simulation where you literally have study days where you take a practice test and you're doing 320 questions in that day, you know, for the step 2 folk, or 280 for the step 1 folk, and you're taking breaks the way you would take it on test day. The more you do of those, the better you're gonna be. So that's principle number 9, the simulation principle. Principle number 8. So now, what's principle number 9? Principle number 9 is the learning principle. The learning principle. So, how do you learn during your dedicated period? Again, I will give you a few tidbits here. The first thing I will say here is, you want to understand within reason. The thing is, there are two extremes you can seek with understanding, and either extreme is not good. Most people are on the extreme of, they memorize, but they don't understand. Those people are not actually learning. They're just deceiving themselves. That's what's happening. they've memorized so much, but they don't have any understanding. They don't have any context for that information that they are learning. Again, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. The other extreme is there are some people that want to understand everything. Honestly, that's also not profitable. You see, some people, they dig into the weeds of every single thing. And honestly, one of the best ways to identify people that do this is, again, just go on Reddit. You see on the, you know, the step two sub, you see people, they'll be asking, why does this do this? How can you differentiate between this and this? And yes, I know it's something that comes with experience, but I just see many of these questions that people ask. And I just know that, man, these things, all these questions you're asking, you're spending hours trying to understand this thing, but is it going to offer you any benefit on your test day or in the real world? Probably not. Almost zero. Right? You see some people trying to like understand some nitpicky thing, some rare pathology, something where sometimes you just want to learn the information and move on. Believe it or not, you may be like, wow, Divine, are you seeing this? Yes, I'm seeing it. There are some things in life where you just want to memorize it and move on, or know the basics and move on. There are some times where trying to get that knee-deep detailed understanding does not make sense, right? So it's just achieving a balance. That's why I tell people, try to understand within reason. There are many things, however, that you need to understand that people do not understand, but understand without within reason. Don't keep digging into the weeds, especially when it does not offer much of any benefit for your life. Another thing under this learning principle is when you're learning, pay attention to presentations. That is the downfall of many people in studying for the USMLE exams. They do not pay attention to presentations. They learn the facts of the pathology, but they don't learn the presentation of the pathology. And then they wonder why they're struggling. They literally wonder why they're struggling. Learn the presentations. Your exams are going to be a cacophony. It's going to be a collection of presentations. You're going to see many disparate presentations, right? So learn by presentation. Learn by presentation. I'm telling you, learn by presentation. Again, I'm telling you this. That's why I really love the review courses I teach. Most of these review courses, 90%+ of it, are clinical presentations. Even the step one class, the 25-hour step one class, the 20-hour step two class, or the 100-hour step two, step three class that's coming up in May of next year. These things are going to be all clinical presentations, right? My biostats class, clinical presentations. My social sciences and ethics class, clinical presentations, right? My test-taking class, clinical presentations, question vignettes. That's just the better way to learn, because you're not just learning the concepts at that point. You're learning the concepts, you're understanding the pathophase, but you're seeing the presentation. You're seeing it from an exam perspective, from a real-world perspective. There's a lot of value to that, right? Another thing I'm going to say as well in the learning principle is make sure you're learning the critical information. Make sure you are learning the critical information. I cannot tell you how, honestly, like saying this is something that makes me really sad. I have seen many students fall for this. And to be honest with you, do you know why I feel sad? I feel sad because people are suffering with this stuff. People are literally suffering with this stuff. You see, many students, their mental health is being crushed. They are being crushed during their dedicated periods. And what is the thing that's crushing them? They are learning so much, but a lot of the things they are learning have no value for the exams. No value. That's the thing I tell a lot of people. That's why doing this, what's the term I want to use? Doing this shotgun approach to studying that, oh, I see this Anki deck that's 25,000 cards. I'm just going to brute force and go through that Anki deck. For most people, that is not a valid success strategy. Many people learn things, but a lot of what they know is fluff. It doesn't help their lives at all, right? Just be careful that what you're learning is actually high yield. A lot of people learn a lot of stuff, and a lot of it is low yield. Right? Like, to be honest with you, when I was studying for my USMLE exams, there are certain things I will read under a QBank explanation that I don't even bother. I will just read through it once, and I don't even ever go back to revisit it again because I'm like, yep, this is a waste of my time. That's why practicing with MBME material is very helpful, because it's going to show you what they consider to be high yield. I'm telling you this again and again. I'm not speaking on something I don't know about. It's something I've seen from working with people one-on-one. That's one of the things I've done many times one-on-one with people. I redirect them to focus on what matters, right? But you see a lot of people online, right? And you see the kinds of questions they're asking, the kinds of things you're doing. And in your heart, especially again, if you're a person that's experienced with this process, you know that these people are consuming days of their dedicated period that will literally offer them no benefit whatsoever. They're studying these arcane details, right? But the critical things they don't know. Well, the thing is, if your exam is filled with arcane details, oh yeah, you're going to crush that exam. But how many USMLE exams are chock full of arcane details? It may not be less than more than a single digit percent of your exam, but the other double digit percent that requires you to know the critical information, if you don't know those things, you're going to bomb your exam, right? So make sure you're not just learning, but you're learning what is critical, right? Like honestly, even this thing that many people do, especially these Anki decks that are closed deletion, where they will just lift a sentence from some Q bank or some resource and then remove a word and then put the full sentence in the answer choices. Those are one of the dumbest kinds of Anki decks to make, because literally you're just memorizing words in a sentence. You literally have like no context whatsoever. No context whatsoever. Like, to get an example of what a good Anki deck should look like, I will encourage you to consider, there's this deck for step one. I think it's called the Duke Bathoma deck. I literally don't know who made this deck, but I'm just giving you an example of, wait, this is an Anki deck that makes a ridiculous amount of sense. It's not closed deletion, as far as I remember. Last time I saw this deck was years ago. I was just evaluating it, you know, in case I want to give recommendations to people I work with one-on-one or in making these podcasts. And that deck, right, it asks like an open-ended question. You have to reason and then give an open-ended answer. That's a more valuable kind of deck. But a lot of people, making a closed deletion deck is way easier, but the yield of such decks is very low. It's very, very minimal, right? You know, people just learn a lot of trash information that they don't need, right? They're just memorizing words in a sentence. They have no context, no critical thinking, no reasoning whatsoever. And then they wonder why they've matured this deck, but it's not reflecting in their practice test scores, right? And then the final thing I'm going to say under the learning principle is, when you're learning, learn with integrations. Learn with integrations. I'm telling you, if you're a person that learns with integrations, you're going to do extremely well on your USMLE exams, right? What does it mean to learn with integrations? It means to see a concept in many other terms. To see a concept in many other terms. When you are able to see a concept in many other terms, then it doesn't matter how they word or present the question to you on your exams. In fact, one of the ways you know a person that is a very good integrated thinker is they're reading an MBME vignette. They're reading like the first two sentences, and they literally already know the direction the MBME is going. They know that, okay, this question is obviously going to be a sarcoid question in a person that has erythema nodosa. They're able to see those connections. They see it, right? Because they've learned to integrate. Because the thing is, again, the USMLE's test principles. Yes, don't get me wrong, there are things you need to memorize, but they test principles, right? So if you can make these integrations, again, if you listen to my podcast, How Do You See Me Teach? I try to make integrations. You may see me talk about fibrotic lung disease, but then I can bring in a heart sound integration. I can bring in a kidney integration. I can bring in a joint integration. I can bring in an EPO integration. I can bring in a blood oxygen content integration, right? If you learn concepts with integrations, then it's going to be much more valuable knowledge for you, because it's not every question on your exam that is cookie cutter, where it's like, oh, they're going to give you this cookie cutter presentation and boom, you get the answer. No, when people say, oh, two-step thinking, three-step thinking, those are questions that depend on integration. Those are the questions that most people get wrong on their exams. Again, if you listen to my podcast, you have an idea of what integration sounds like. And again, that's something I really aim to do with many of my review courses. Okay. Now, let's go to principle number 10. What's principle number 10? Principle number 10 is the critical repetition principle. The critical repetition principle, right? Critical repetition principle. And the thing is, this is a thing that people that keep jumping from one resource to the other never do, right? The thing is, you want to I'm telling you, this is something you should not skimp on during any dedicated period. You should have a universe of what is considered to be critical information. That critical information, you need to repeat it multiple times throughout your dedicated period. Multiple times. You see some people, critical information, they only go through it once during their dedicated period. No, that's not a smart way to prepare for exams, right? So if, for example, you're like, okay, there's this resource that is exactly, contains a lot of the high-yield information that I'm going to be learning for my exam. Don't go through it only once. Don't go through it only twice. Don't go through it only three times. Go through it at least four times. Make those multiple passes so that it can stick in your brain, right? Many people don't repeat critical things. You see some people, because again, some people, Anki for them is, oh, they're like, well, I'm doing spaced repetition. But they're doing a spaced repetition of trash. They're not doing a spaced repetition of what is critical. Right? So the critical information, the information that encapsulates a lot of the principles and concepts that are tested on your exams, go through those things repeatedly. Go through those things repeatedly. And one thing about people sometimes is they sweat about memorizing everything the first go around. No. The thing is, just make sure that every repetition you're doing, you're learning that information, you're learning a little more. A little more. So let's say, wow, okay, I'm able to capture 50% of this thing in my first pass. By the second pass, try to have learned 70 to 75%. By the third pass, try to have learned like 85 to 90%. By the fourth pass, make sure you've captured like 95%, right? So just keep learning a little more each time. That's something that really works well for me, right? Like many times, people think that, wow, when Divine is learning something, he's learning it with the intent to memorize. No, honestly, as I learn, my goal is to make connections. That's what I keep in my mind. And then I just tell myself that, Divine, set a schedule for going through this thing. You're going to go through this thing five or six times. But each time I'm going through it, I'm making a new connection. And I notice, I'm like, wow, this concept has always been there. But second pass, I learned this new concept. Third pass, I'm learning this extra new concept, right? But as I go through it those many times, by the fourth, fifth pass, that information is like stuck in my brain, right? And again, I'm not really trying to memorize it. I'm just going through that many more times, making connections, making integrations, learning the presentations. And then I notice that it's almost like that thing is just osmosing into the person's brain. That's a smart way to learn, right? That's a smart way to learn. Now, what is principle number 11? Principle number 11. Is the resource principle, 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 the resource principle. Now, I'm going to talk about this in a few dimensions. The thing is, when you're studying, make sure you're using the right resources. Again, that is one thing that kills people's dedicated periods. They're using resources that have limited benefit, right? Oh, let me just try this completely new resource that has not been tested and trusted. That's not a speaker's. You're pretty much experimenting with your life. Your dedicated period is a defined period. You don't have unlimited amounts of time. That is not when you should be experimenting. That is not when you should be experimenting. And if there's a large detailed resource that you know that, wow, this resource is good, but it's pretty detailed, it's a large resource, the best time to get through that resource is before your dedicated period starts. I'm telling you, one of the best ways to gain a lot from your dedicated period is to take a good advantage of the time period before your dedicated period. For example, I like to use my step one experience. Step one, I took it at the end of my second year of med school. And halfway through my first year of med school is when I actively started preparing for step one. And honestly, it's not like I put in crazy amounts of time every single day. No, literally, I just put in like an hour or two learning along with my curriculum, learning along with my curriculum. And the thing is, I did not abandon my curriculum. That's one feeling that many people have. That's a very common piece of advice you see out there a lot. That, oh, you know what, just do the bare minimum to do well in your curriculum, to pass your curriculum exams. But then invest all your energies into step one. Again, it's common advice, it's popular advice, but it's very bad advice. Again, take this from me. I have literally seen people that have scored the highest scores and people that have failed their exams. most of the people that end up doing well on their USMLEs are people that did well in their experiences leading up to the USMLEs. What do I mean by that? The people that you're going to see crush their step one exams are people that were doing well during their preclinical years. They did well on their preclinical exams. The people that you see crushing their step two, step three exams are people that crushed their shelf exams, right? So the thing is, the dedicated period is not the end all be all for doing well academically. Although, don't get me wrong, if you've had a bad foundation, you've done horribly in the past, you can have a lengthy dedicated period and salvage yourself. But most of your prep is not during the dedicated period. Most of your prep is in the period before your dedicated period. I'm going to say that again. Most of your prep is in the period before your dedicated period. Before your dedicated period, right? Your dedicated period should just be a time for putting things together, not learning so much new information the first time, right? That's the thing. So just kind of keep that at the back of your mind. Now, principle number 12 is the removal principle. What does the removal principle mean? The removal principle, and maybe let me say one last thing about principle number 11. The good thing about preparing before your dedicated period is that you don't feel that pressure of being in a dedicated period. So you can learn things little by little, and you can learn them well. You can get that deep understanding. You can get that integrative understanding, right? And another thing to also keep in mind with this period before your dedicated period starts is one of the most effective ways to do this process is do it in tandem with your experiences, right? Like say, for example, you're on a surgery rotation, learn your surgery material extremely well, because then it's going to help you do well on your rotation, right? It's going to help you do well on your shelf exam, right? It's almost like you're giving yourself like a dedicated surgery period where, wow, this rotation is 2 months and I'm going to immerse myself in surgery and get the best knowledge I can possible out of it, right? Or say, for example, you're in your preclinical years and you're doing your biochem block. Delve deep into biochem. Really learn biochem, right? By doing that, it's almost like you're firing on so many cylinders at once. You're going to crush your preclinical exam. You're going to learn that material deeply. And then when it comes to your dedicated period, even if you've forgotten some of that information, when you review it from some review resource, all that information is going to come flying right back, right? Like say, for example, there are some things I've not reviewed them in like 4 or 5 years. Because I learned it well the first time, honestly, if I look at those things again for like an hour, all that information is just going to come flying back. Things that I learned well the first time do not truly ever leave you. I'm going to say that again. Things that you learn well the first time do not truly ever leave your subconscious. When you just review it again, all that information is just going to come flying right back. Okay, now, principle number 12, I said, was the removal principle. This is a simple principle, but basically, remove as many commitments as possible from your life during your dedicated period. This is a common mistake many people make. You see them, they're going through their dedicated period and they are presenting at some conference. They're doing some research project at the same time. They're doing this. That's not smart. Honestly, I know that this is not always possible for everyone, but if you can take time off of work during your dedicated period, do it, right? Remove as many, it's called a dedicated period for some reason. During this period, you're supposed to be dedicated to this activity of studying, right? So remove as many commitments as possible, right? Again, I know it's not possible for everyone. There are some times where you cannot remove commitments. I've had dedicated periods where I had to be doing a ton of work during other work, like making these podcasts, I kid you not, making these podcasts, holding review sessions and all these things during that dedicated period, right? Or just doing like taking care of a family or something like that. So just something you want to keep in mind, right? But also, the fact that you're removing commitments doesn't mean you shouldn't de-stress. You should have some de-stress opportunities, right? Like you should have during your day, playtime, right? Where you're watching TV or you're doing something fun, you're hanging out with your friends or whatever. And I'll encourage you to try to hang out with friends that maybe are not studying for the exam like you are, right? So that you can just get like a different outlet on life. Now, what is the final principle I'm going to talk about? The final principle I'm going to talk about is the timing principle. The timing principle. Basically, what does this mean? This just means take your exam at the right time. That's the thing. Plan your future. This seems like common sense. But again, common sense, as many of you know, is not exactly common. Literally, plan your future. Plan your future. Take your exam at the right time. People don't plan their future a year, 2, 3 years ahead. And then they wonder why things are so hard for them in their present. Your present is a function of the decisions you took in the past, right? So literally, plan your future. Plan your future. I kid you not, plan your future, right? Like if you know that, man, okay, I'm starting off my third year. You should have in your mind, this is when I roughly want to take my exam next year. So that you can start planning, right? You see some people, because they did not plan, they failed to plan. They don't get the away rotations they want, or they are on an away rotation. And then that they're also in their dedicated period during that time. It's not smart, right? Or you notice that, wow, they're taking the exams 2, 3 months after the ERAS process has started. They don't have a step 2 score, right? Those people's applications are pretty much almost dead in the water. If I'm being completely honest with you, I'm not trying to sugarcoat things here. I'm trying to be truthful. So I would just encourage you, please be wise, be smart, be smart. Plan out your life so you can take things at the right time. Like for me, when I was taking my MCAT, I planned when I would take it much, very early, very, very early. I had made those plans very early. I think I took my MCAT like in March of, if I'm doing my math right, I'm pretty sure I took it in March of like 2013 or something like that. This was way back in the day. It's like 10 years ago. Oh my goodness. It's more than 10 years ago, right? And by planning it that way, I'd already planned that, oh, God forbid, if I failed the exam or if I didn't get a score I wanted, I could retake it again and still have ample time before AMCAS applications were due then. So again, I would just encourage you, just be smart. Plan your life. I'm telling you, like, many people live life harder than it needs to be. There are certain things that people call hard work that is not hard work. It's just repercussion for stupidity. That's the truth, right? You see many people, you notice that there are some people, and this is something that you seem to see with a select few. They don't seem to be working so hard in their lives, but they seem to be getting so much out of life. They seem to be living at the top. A lot of that is a function of planning and preparation. Right? If you plan, you don't have to work as hard as people that did not plan. Go to the Bible, read the story of the ants in the book of Proverbs. It contains so much. That might actually be something I may offload on the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast website. But the ants, there are so many things you can learn from the ants. So many things. If humanity apply those principles, humanity will be far better. Right? A lot of people are working so hard now because they did not plan in the past for their present, which is now, right? So just plan things. Like I remember my dedicated period for step one. If I'm being completely honest, was I studying for 15, 16, 17 hours every day like many people do? No, I was studying very few hours. People that are very close to me, during my dedicated period for step one, I was literally doing a bunch of random things, right? That were not even study related. But I had that leisure because before I even got into my dedicated period, I was already scoring above the national average on step one, right? So why? Because I planned and prepared and I had, for like an hour or two every day, studied little by little. My dedicated period was way shorter than most people at my med school, right? Again, I didn't have to delve. I didn't have to sweat and struggle and suffer. And again, I'm not saying this to be proud. No, honestly, that is not the goal. I'm just explaining to you how preparation and planning can make your life a whole lot easier. And also, it's good for your mental health. I'm telling you, poor planning and preparation is a cause of mental health crises. Again, don't get me wrong. There are many other causes of mental health crises, right? But this is one cause. This is a cause, right? Because if you're under so much stress because you didn't plan, you didn't prepare early, your mental health is not going to be good. That's just the truth. You're going to be super stressed during your dedicated period. During my dedicated period for step one, I can promise you, was I stressed? Yes. But was I as stressed as most people are during their dedicated periods? Absolutely not. I was not like that. Why? Because I had planned and I had prepared. So Again, plan, prepare, right? Find outlets where you can, you know, de-stress. For me, honestly, a way for me to de-stress is when I go to church or when I listen to like a Christian message or something. All those things help me, right? But find something that can help you de-stress. But plan and prepare your life, right? So I'm going to stop here. Again, if you're interested, I do offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLE exams, pre-clinical med school exams, third-year shelf exams. And then I offer review courses, you know, for step one to step three. I offer a 4-hour biostatistics review. I offer a 5-hour ethics, quality improvement, social sciences, communications, healthcare systems, and professionalism class. I mean, that class has like almost 200 different scenarios we discuss over a 5-hour period. And then I have an MBME test taking strategies class that's a 2.5-hour class. It's not all about knowledge, but knowing how to take tests. And then for step two, step three, and shelf exams exclusively, I have a 20-hour review course. And then for step two, step three, and shelf exams as well, I have a 100-hour review class that's going to be taking place next year. It's going to be taking place largely in the month of May next year. So if you want to plan ahead, I can give you some more information. Just shoot me an email or listen to the podcast I've made on those things. And then finally, I have this podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. I also have a YouTube channel you can check out. And then I have another website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. Basically, every week I post about 2 podcasts where, from a biblical perspective, I deal with a life lesson. I usually post the podcast on Fridays and Sundays. There's actually an Apple podcast associated with it called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you in episode 500. I guess that's going to be a seminal episode. Episode 500. Wow, that's like 500 episodes. That's a milestone. Well, thank God for that. So I'll see you next time. Have a wonderful weekend and God bless you. Bye for now.